I really don't like being on camera, which most people find shocking, and it is nerve-wracking. But I came to the realization that I had a unique gift and I had a unique story that anytime people hear it, they're either inspired by it, entertained by it, motivated by it, encouraged by it. There's some sort of positive reaction. And so it was selfish for me not to share my gifts and my message and story. And it's the same for every single one of us. We've been given a certain set of experiences, a certain set of skills, and it's meant to enhance the greater good. When we don't do that, we're actually being very selfish.
Welcome to the Society Gal podcast, where trailblazing female entrepreneurs and creatives come together to spark change and build their dreams. This is where your passion meets purpose, and together, we're crafting a future where everyone has the tools to succeed. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Society Gal podcast. It is Dana, your host here with you today. We have an awesome special guest, Chrissy, and we are going to talk all about PR today. If this is unfamiliar territory for you, or you've been thinking about it, or maybe you've had experience in it, Chrissy is your girl. Chrissy, tell us about what you do, who you are, and how you got to where you are today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to share. I love talking about this topic, invisibility, especially with women. So I love that it's with Society Gal. That's exactly who needs the message. My name is Chrissy Bernal. I'm the CEO of Be a Better Brand. We are a brand architecture and PR agency. And a lot of people say, well, okay, what is brand architecture? What does that mean? We craft every aspect of brands just like you would when architecting a house. I got my start because I've always known that personal brands were going to be important. So 17 years ago now, I bought our firstnamelastname.com URLs. Not a lot of people were thinking that way. And I just knew instinctually that personal brands were going to be important. So I bought those. And then when my girls were 10, I have twins, they were suddenly thrust into the global spotlight, and literally within weeks ended up going from our local paper to, you know, 2020 on, you know, ABC's 2020, Anderson Cooper, Inside Edition, Germany, France, Australia, UK, many times. It just exploded. And I knew we needed to harness the attention they were getting. At the time, they were 10. So I didn't know what they wanted to do when they were, you know, grownups, but I knew this is an opportunity that not everybody gets, and we need to take advantage of it. So I hired some people to do the branding and PR, and it ended up being such a painful process. One, it was expensive, but two, we didn't feel like the people really got us. Mm-hmm. We didn't feel like they knew. We didn't want to follow the exact same formula that everybody follows, because clearly I have very unique twins. I don't do normal, apparently. I thought about it and I thought, you know what? I do have a formal education in mass communications and journalism, so I'm going to go ahead and take over. I do have good instincts when it comes to branding. So I just took it over, and here we are now. The girls are almost 27 and they both have their personal brands and doing their own thing.
I love that. What made them go viral, I guess, at that time?
They are the only set of twins like them in the world. One of them has primordial dwarfism and the other one does not. And they are identical, meaning from one egg. So a lot of people think identical means they look exactly the same and have the exact same DNA. And that can be true on many of the cases. But with twins like mine, once the egg split, there were genetic mutations that happened, which is where her diagnoses come from. And so that's how they are so different, even though they are technically identical twins.
That's so unique. That's very cool.
Yeah, they've got two Guinness Book records to prove it too.
That's really cool. I love how forward thinking you were with getting the brands for your children and just having those set up and thinking in the future, especially that far back, right? When things like that weren't as big as they are now, which is a really cool opportunity that you took advantage of. It seems like you learned a lot from your own PR experience and that you changed a lot in your business. How do you make it different for the clients that you work with now in your current business? How do you make it not so painstaking as it was with you and make it themselves?
Yes, I love that question, because one of the things that people are fearful of when they start working with a PR person or agency is it going to be worth it? Mm-hmm. And I've heard so many horror stories, which is one reason why we do the brand architecture side of things, because some publicists will just go and get you press and they won't necessarily optimize what they're getting publicity for, which in my opinion is kind of a waste, even on the marketing side. You've got to have the marketing and your offers in order and everything in the back end ready so that when you get that publicity, it's not wasted. And I heard horror stories where the publicist will say right before the next invoice goes out, oh, we're working on this and that's about to happen. And just really string people along when they weren't really working on big things. And, you know, sometimes it does take a long time for things to happen, but we don't string our clients along. We let them know this is taking a long time, but while we're waiting on this, we are working on this, which should be a faster one. And yeah, we take a very multifaceted approach, which prevents those severe downtimes for the most part.
Can you explain PR a little bit for someone who doesn't know anything about it? They hear the word PR, but let's say they've never understood what the process actually is and what you do. What is the work that you're doing? And explain, because you're setting up the expectation of like, this takes a minute, just like marketing does, just like getting any brand out, right? This is a type of marketing, getting any brand out. So explain what you do exactly. What are the efforts you put into each client?
I love that. That's a great question because a lot of times people will maybe see PR in the Hallmark movies.
Their name PR, big celebrities.
And the celebrities have a publicist that maybe aren't handling things the same way that we handle because you don't have to craft as hard. Well, I won't say that. They still work. It's just a different type of PR. But what we do is we go for features or we have to pull angles out. PR is just a visibility strategy. You've got social media as one aspect of visibility, but PR is third-party validation plus visibility. You could have a million followers on social media, but one article in People magazine is huge because that is such a big authority. PR is where it's not just you saying you're awesome, it's somebody else saying you're awesome.
Simple as that. It seems like someone who didn't know a lot about PR before running a business, you look at it and you're like, oh, people just got found, right? Kind of like your twins got found, which I don't think that happens for most people where people are just like found and then everyone wants to put you in their article, right? Do you feel like you're the representative for that brand to help push out more and get more connections and opportunities?
Yes. Our goal is to build magnetic brands that will begin to attract. Mm. Over the years, we sustained the girls' visibility, and that's how People magazine reached out to us. That's how Guinness Book reached out to us. That I don't have to do much PR for them now because people will reach out to them respectively. Even Sierra, even though she lives in Nashville now, people will still reach out independently. And that's the goal for us, to build that brand where people are reaching out. But most people don't start where they're getting sought out. So you have to begin with building that foundation and crafting that brand and perception intentionally so that you can start to be magnetic. And while there are cases where it does happen, somebody goes viral on TikTok or whatever, that's great and all, but do you have a plan for what you're going to do after? I just had a potential client we were talking to, they had a viral video on TikTok. And I was like, okay, what are you going to do with it? And they were like, we don't know yet. And I said, that's why you have to have a plan, because it can happen. So you want to have a plan for what to do and sustain the virality.
Yeah, I love that, sustaining it. We have so much opportunity for people to become viral or to become seen very quickly. But then you see most people have no idea what to do next. And that's just a viral video that maybe they earn a few hundred dollars from when they could have had an opportunity to build a brand from that. And actually feed into that worked. How did that work? Why did that work? Why do people like that? Okay, you know, how can I use this to my advantage? Instead, people are like, oh, well, great, I did that, you know?
Yep.
So I love that. It's a whole extra toolkit for people to use and to build something very strong. Awesome. If someone is thinking about PR, because I think a lot of people, especially small businesses, because we're speaking a lot to women right now, and we'll speak more about this later, a lot of us kind of stay small. And I think a lot of us are just so familiar, or it's very easy to get into, which is just marketing, right? So we're just marketing ourselves. We're just putting ourselves on Instagram. We're just doing our own marketing stuff. But why should a brand, why should someone right now be thinking about PR for their business? And honestly, when is the right time to do that?
Those are great questions. So I love this topic because I personally found myself playing small, even though the girls were getting a lot of publicity. I really don't like being on camera, which most people find shocking, and it is nerve-wracking. But I came to the realization that I had a unique gift and I had a unique story that anytime people hear it, they're either inspired by it, entertained by it, motivated by it, encouraged by it. There's some sort of positive reaction. And so it was selfish for me not to share my gifts, message, and story. And it's the same for every single one of us. We've been given a certain set of experiences, a certain set of skills, and it's meant to enhance the greater good. When we don't do that, we're actually being very selfish.
Oh, that's really great. When it comes to us keeping it small and not expanding our voice, I think there's a lot of women feeling afraid of getting bad feedback from people, you know, receiving that. I think men have an easier time receiving bad feedback and taking it and being like, okay, I don't care what you think. Women are a little more feeling. If there's a bad comment, someone's making fun of somebody, I think it really sinks in for people. That could really feed into the fear of going bigger and getting your brand out there and your voice in a world that seems like everyone has a perfect opinion and your opinion is fully formed or your brand is fully formed, but instead being confident that you're always growing and evolving in your brand.
I see that a lot. And people, especially with the onset of AI now, are so done with the performative stuff. They want to see real. And I'm not saying to not be intentional or to at least try and button it up, but you don't have to wait for something to be perfect. I launched my podcast myself and didn't wait for it to be perfect. Are there things looking back that I would have done differently? Absolutely. But we set an intention. We knew we had a good message and we're sharing good stories. And that's all that matters. I get great feedback on it. And like every time we go on TV, I would rewatch stuff and go, oh my gosh, how many cameras were on me? I look hideous or I sound stupid. But if I look at the comments, not one matched what I was saying to myself. Of course, you're going to get the random person that is going to say something stupid. But that's when, you know, you do the Southern thing. You say, bless your heart.
Yeah.
So especially on social media, the funny thing that I have found to do with people when they're ignorant or mean, thank you for the engagement. Instagram doesn't know that that was a rude comment. They just saw that that was a comment. So I always thank them for their engagement, for helping me in the algorithm.
Yeah. I love that. When it comes to doing something not perfect, it's all data. I tell people that all the time. Because you're doing it imperfectly, you get data quicker and therefore you grow quicker because you're like, okay, now I know what to change. Now I know what to do better. And you're just growing with yourself instead of doing it all behind the scenes and trying to get out there and have a super high expectation for yourself that it should be perfect and then not do it, right? Consistency or persistence is way more important than just showing up once or twice a year in a big way. It's like the little steps, right?
And with how many times people have to see your brand before they will actually convert. So it's super important to just get out there. And people want to know your values, especially now with the trust recession. They want to know, does this person get me? Are they really going to be able to help me? Or is their life so perfect that they have no idea how to solve a problem for somebody like me whose life isn't perfect? You know, I'm not saying you have to show messy. I'm not saying that. Again, we want to be intentional and we want to put our best foot forward, but that doesn't mean perfect. I see women all the time that, oh, my website's not perfect yet, so I don't want to launch it. I'm like, you're procrastinating.
The whole website thing, that gets me. I see
very never-ending battle
with like trashy websites. Well, that comes down to the brand, right? Because you talk about working on the brand with your clients and you get to the core of a brand of values and the beliefs. And when those are so strong, nothing else really matters because that message is so powerful, or that message, someone, the way they stand behind it and their confidence in that, people feel that energy and they see that. But when someone's behind their messaging and behind their beliefs and values and know what they are to their core, I mean, that's when there's power.
And also, saying something that is maybe contrary to what others are saying.
And being, you know, confident in that.
Yeah, exactly. Like owning your position on something. Some of my best posts have been things that I've said that maybe other people aren't saying. Was it risky to say? Sure. Did I get a little bit of pushback from people? Sure. I could see that the pushback from people was more about them and not me. It's taken years of practice for me to be able to flip it and go, oh, they're actually just projecting right now. Take a stand. Say something unique. Stand out. It's,
when you
it's
take a lot stand, easier than you think. There's a huge crowd of people that are like, yes. Well, right. The other part, people are not. But then you find more of your yes people that are like, yes, I really, really want to stand behind you and support you and believe in you because of your beliefs, because it's fearless. There's a lot of people that have opinions or believe something that they're too afraid to say. So someone needs to say it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And your messaging and your brand should attract the people you want to attract. And honestly, it's much more efficient if you repel the people that you don't want to work with. If you are a super woo and you don't want to work with somebody who thinks woo is weird, lean into it so that you're pushing away the people who think woo is weird. Now, if you don't want to work with men at all, then make sure you're speaking to just women and use language that's going to make a man go, yeah, I don't want to work with her.
Yeah.
That way you get the tire kickers out of the way.
Well, and what I'm assuming is that when you build the brand that way and you support people with that brand development, that when you do the PR for them, their story or what they have to say really attracts more or stands out more to those people that you're getting connected to for them.
Yeah, because you want your audience to say, oh, they must be talking straight to me. Oh, they get me. They're my tribe. I'm really vibing with this. I totally resonate with this.
And for a third party to back you too, right? A lot of third parties are looking for new stories, a unique story or something that's going to stand out to a reader, whoever's listening or watching, right, on a podcast or anything like that. And so I'm guessing you help people craft that.
Those unique angles. Yeah. Something that's going to stand out. You know, one thing that a lot of people say is, oh, well, my story is just unique as it is. And I'm like, that's true. But we have to craft it in a way that's newsworthy, meaning, yes, it's going to attract the journalist, but the journalist is looking at what their audience is going to be attracted to. So we have to think about what's in it for not just your audience, but their audience. And so sometimes you have to dive a little bit deeper.
And there's a craft to that, right? I mean, for someone just to do their own PR, it only gets to a point compared to having someone skilled enough to be the outside person looking in and seeing the third party and the brand and connecting those two, because that's a lot to see in the craft of doing what you do.
And sometimes it's hard to define yourself as well, do your own bio, that sort of thing. You're too close to it. And there might be a really interesting aspect of your story that you don't realize is interesting.
Yes. Tell me a little bit about what you experienced with a client, like what you took a client through. I think everyone would love to hear what working with you is like and what are the benefits of doing that. So give an example of a client that you walked through.
Got a great one. Yeah, great one. So this one particular client had a successful company that was doing really well and had gotten to the point where they could step away. It was running by itself. And so that allowed for an opportunity for this person to write a book and do another company, just kind of one that really fueled their soul. And as they stepped out, they realized, wait, nobody knows who I am. They know the business, but now that I'm trying to do things not affiliated with the business, people don't get it. Even though it was my brain behind the business, they're still not getting it. So that's where we stepped in to create the personal brand. Your personal brand needs to be here. And then all the things you create underneath that. So then no matter where you go, people get that. Just like I always use the example of Barbara Corcoran. We know she's in real estate, but we also know any other thing she buys, we're going to at least check it out. If she starts a restaurant, we're probably going to check it out because it's Barbara. Building your strong personal brand gives you that authority to do other things and not be pigeonholed. For this particular person, they're still working on their book, but in the meantime, we're building the community that loves her. When the book does come out, now they know who she is. Now they love her. And so it's a lot easier to branch out into other things. And that's why I always press on everyone. Even if you're an employee at a company, you still need a personal brand. I'm not saying you have to necessarily get PR for yourself. Build your personal brand so that you're known for something, because you never know what the future holds. Your job could be gone tomorrow. We just never know. And so if you've already branded yourself as the best in the business or an expert at what it is you do, how much more likely are you going to be hired quicker? And, you know, consider somebody else with the exact same resume, but they've already heard your name because you've done such a good job with branding and positioning yourself as an expert. They're going to lean toward you, even if it's a subconscious bias.
Well, I love that example of that separation of what you're doing, like your businesses and your own personal brand, because I think there's that whole in the industry and just in general in business, people are like, oh, should I niche or not niche? And they get so overwhelmed by this whole niching thing. It's like, no, you need that separation. You are a personal brand, but then you have your businesses. We have to understand that we grow and we develop and our beliefs change and our values change or they shift, or even our ideas and our businesses and what we want to do in our life in different seasons. And so we have to have something to support that, right? Otherwise, if it's all put into one business, what we do, and there's no room for change, I think people can get really stuck.
In this day and age, it is so unpredictable at times and just never know, especially for those people in media and politics. You could have a job one day and not a job the next. So I think everyone needs to brand themselves.
Love that. Awesome. So how does somebody start their PR journey? Maybe they built their brand to a good point and they want to get the next step. So what steps should they be taking to start that journey in PR?
Well, first you need to identify your audience. Figure out exactly who that audience is. What problem is it that you're solving? And is that the problem that an audience actually wants to solve? Or let's say you're currently not solving a problem for a particular audience, but you'd like to. Define that audience and then figure out what their actual problem is. So that why I say it that way is figure out a problem, then go deeper. Okay, go deeper. Why is that their problem? Okay, why is that? What? You know, it's like just constantly going deeper as far as you can and really honing in on that transformation. And that's why a lot of times we'll start with establishing a belief statement and a transformation statement. So it's your beliefs, your core values, that sort of thing. And then you've got your transformation statement. What is the transformation someone can expect to experience after working with you or buying your product or going to your location? Because at the end of the day, that's what we want. Anytime we are purchasing, it's all based on an emotion. Even if you're choosing between Chick-fil-A and McDonald's, you are going to emotionally make that decision. Let's say you're like, Chick-fil-A is awesome, but McDonald's is cheaper. You go to McDonald's, you just made it off of a fear emotion, fear of spending too much money or a sense of lack. So that was the emotion present there. But they could also be, oh, my grandma used to give me Chick-fil-A and ooh, that mean uncle used to give me McDonald's. I'm going to go to Chick-fil-A. Again, you made that decision off of emotion. So that's where defining those inner things that your audience is experiencing, that's what really matters. And so those are the things that we craft right away. And then we get the clarity in the offers. Do you know what you're going to sell? Do you know your customer journey? Because if you have something viral, and you get 10,000 people coming to you saying, hey, I saw your video on hair color. Can I book an appointment? And you're like, I don't even have a chair. And get yourself prepared. We have a clarity workbook that we work through with people to figure out their offer, their customer journey, that sort of thing. We make sure our messaging points are the same. You want to get that elevator pitch or one-liner, a simple statement that presses on the problem, demonstrates the transformation people will present and who you're actually talking to. So, you know, if it's I help women or I help busy business owners, you got to get all three of those things in there in a way that you can repeat it and somebody else could repeat it for you. You know, it took me a long time to train my husband how to repeat what I do, but you know, it's like, you've got to get it so that even a five-year-old could repeat what business, you know, what does mommy do? Oh, here's what mommy does.
Hey, this is Dana from Society Gal, and I wanted to take a quick break to tell you about the Society Gal Academy, the exclusive membership that helps entrepreneurs like you launch, grow, and scale your business. Join weekly expert-led workshops, access to on-demand courses, and connect with a supportive network of go-getters just like you. Are you ready to elevate your business? Visit Society Gal Academy today. Yeah, that's so important. The one-liner, I think, is most difficult for us to put in one thing. But it is because I think it's very hard for someone to explain what they do and then for someone else to remember what they do. And I think it's important for someone to remember what you do.
And, you know, That's why you've got to speak about the transformation as well. That makes it more memorable. Donald Miller with StoryGrand gives this example, and it's fantastic. So you've got two people who are chefs, personal chefs or whatever. And one says, I'm a personal chef. Then the other says, I help busy moms who are exhausted at the end of the day get their meals cooked and their families fed by 6 p.m. It's like, oh, I'm going to remember that person because I know I'm exhausted when I come home from work. Getting that type of differentiating and hitting that pain problem, hitting that transformation, those are the key parts.
Awesome. Yeah. So when it comes to the next steps in the PR journey, so you start with, you do the build the brand, which is the foundation. And then what are the next steps after that?
Next steps would be to identify the actual strategy. There are podcasts, print media, digital media, television, radio, even radio still. But there's satellite, of course. So you've got to figure out what is your goal? Where is your audience actually tuning in? Let's say your audience is primarily on AM radio. It would be stupid for you to go on FM radio. If your audience is only on Netflix, then you need to go on shows that are on Netflix. It's just like with social media. If your audience is not on Instagram, don't be on Instagram. It's learning where your audience is and then finding those outlets. We've had conservative clients before, so we want to put them on places where they're conservative audiences. We've had clients who are not conservative, so we put them on the outlets that speak more to non-conservative people. It's like you got to figure out where your audience is and go there. And then craft the pitches. I hear a lot of people, especially for some reason lately, a lot of people are talking about press releases as if they're awesome. You hear my disdain for press releases. I work with many authors and I see publishers tout, oh, we'll send out a press release. A press release has its purpose. But if you think you're going to put a press release out and go viral, the likelihood of that happening, it's very low. They're great for SEO. They're great to support your story. They're great to see where interest might be in the market. You know, who picked that up? Okay, that market might be interested in this topic. Let's go there. They have their purpose, but they are not the pinnacle of PR. Then you figure out the particular people. Some people do spray and pray. We don't do spray and pray where we just send out pitches to people. PR, especially now with AI, is really going back to its relational roots and it's really relationship driven. So let's say I've got a relationship with a producer and they get two emails on the same topic, but they recognize my name in their inbox and they love working with me. They might not even read the other one because they know, oh, Chrissy's reliable. She always brings me good stuff. This solves my problem fast. Here we go. I know that there are AI pitches going out there. I am not anti-AI. I love AI. It's just time and a place sort of thing. There are areas where it's appropriate to use AI and areas where it's not. And, you know, you could have something and then maybe say, what are some good angles that I might be missing? There are things that you can use AI to brainstorm, but don't let it actually write your stuff. In some cases, sending out AI can actually get you blackballed and they won't work with you because they could potentially get fired if they use AI. If you put them in the position to potentially get fired, you don't like that.
That's knowing those little things and the fact that you are a connection in and of yourself as an agency, I think is very valuable. Hire someone to have those connections and to know the strategy. You made a great point of just, you have to know where your audience is and to spend your time there. Also, someone's strengths too. Are you better talking on podcasts and you could do that all day and you're very confident doing that? Or are you better at writing or, you know, in words, right? I think there's different strengths of the person as well and how they show up.
Absolutely.
And understanding that someone can shine in that space.
Excellent point. Well, one of our clients prefers to write stuff versus podcasts necessarily. Getting the digital PR side of things is part of the main thing we do because that's what they prefer. Anyone who follows Neil Patel has probably heard him talk about digital PR. It's what a lot of us publicists have been doing for a long time. The SEO people are starting to catch up and it's now being called GEO and SEO, generative engine optimization, where you show up in the AI overviews or the AI results. Happens a lot from the digital PR by having your quotation, name, and backlink in a website that is highly thought of by that AI engine or Google. It's ending, showing up in that result more than your own website. Even if your SEO is great on your website, doesn't necessarily mean the AI is going to pick up on it or put it in the AI overview.
Yeah, that's really cool to think about. Lots to think about when it comes to that.
And you mentioned the relationship, and I want to bring this up because it's an important point. I've seen people not go with particular newer agencies or newer PR people. They'll say, oh, well, you don't have enough connections. That can be true, but also not true, because we all have the same databases. We can all reach just about anyone. The relationship is super important, but it still might not be the right time or right angle. I could have a fantastic relationship with the person at the Today Show, but if they're doing a theme that's completely on in a different direction, it doesn't matter. I've had this situation happen with a particular outlet that we work with all the time. We were able to get one client in within a matter of weeks because it was the perfect time and the perfect topic. Whereas another one took us over a year. Same writer. It had nothing to do with bad pitch, good pitch, nothing. It was just the wrong time. Finally, it was the right time. And that's where the relationship came in. So that's why I tell people, don't necessarily discredit somebody because they don't have a lot of top tier coverage yet. They can still get it.
It takes time, right? It's relevancy, and it's right. You're putting like an offer in almost. Like you have to see if it's going to work out and if it's relevant to that person. I think a lot of people love surety, but it's not always that way. It will come, but there has to be patience and also knowing that that knowledge or that confidence that your story or that your beliefs or values are important, and waiting on that and letting that be there until it's right. Someone catches on and is like, yes, I need that story. Yes, I want to use that.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll say this as well. This is one reason why you need to hurry up and start working on it rather than waiting, because let's say it is the perfect time. It is the perfect pitch and it is a relationship driven pitch, but they just got another pitch covering that topic that they had just accepted. You know, they're not going to go back and tell that other pitch. They're too busy to do that anyway. So they'll just keep moving in the direction that they did. So it could be right person, right time, all the things, but somebody got there first. That's why don't wait to start your PR journey now.
I know we might've talked about this in the beginning, but when is the best time for someone to start within their brand, within their business?
So I love all things visibility. I love this question about when you should start. I want everybody to start doing things with a PR and visibility future in mind. So yes, get your business started, get everything cleaned up, start with your clarity on your offers and your brand. And then once you have that to a place where it's consistent, then start your PR. If you don't have your messaging down, don't go get PR, because you're going to say the different messages. You're going to confuse your audience. They should be able to look at five different podcasts you've been on and hear you essentially say the same thing over and over and over again. Maybe not the exact same words, but same thing. If you go and watch anything else I've been on, you're going to hear that I say clarity is important. Brand architecture, you got to clean it up. You got to have your offer in place. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. But don't think you have to wait until you're big.
I think there's a lot of businesses that have been, you know, web designers, photographers, like, who know their craft, know who they speak to, and they just kind of sit there in their marketing, that's like the perfect time. People are ready and primed to go. They know what to say. They know who they are. Exactly. They know who they serve.
I see this all the time. People are like, oh, I'm not big enough. I'm like, no, that's not the point. Oh, I don't have a big enough following. Okay, well, that can hurt you. I don't have a large social media following, yet I've been on global TV. People Magazine still reaches out to me, but it's because our message is consistent everywhere. We were positioned. Now I am getting better at posting on my own social media instead of just working on everybody else's brands and not my own. But, you know, if you've got a clear enough message and you're putting out the right vibes, you will attract them, even if you don't have 100,000 followers. I see it all the time with people who write books. You can be on the Today Show and write a book and only have 10,000 followers versus a million. Next time you see an author on one of the morning shows, go look at their socials. Sometimes they have big ones, but sometimes they don't.
No, I think that is so true. And we have to understand podcasts, TV, those are all followings. Like, they're all different, right? We see Instagram or TikTok is like the only way to show that someone is doing well in their business or in their craft. And that's not always true. There's, again, like you said, there's people who have 1,000, 2,000 and are fully booked out with their clients because they have great relationships and have built a whole community or network that's not on the front end with their audience. People find their audience in different ways, but I like that you said that message because I think a lot of people have that concern that's listening to this. They're like, I don't have 500,000 followers. But then we see people who have 500,000 and don't have great reach and they don't have a good business and they don't have things working for them because they're not focusing on the right things intentionally.
That's an important message because I see this a lot with women and men too. I'm sure I just talk to more women, but they'll say, oh my gosh, I have 100,000 followers, but I'm not actually making any money. And it's like, well, social media is what you say about yourself. Third-party validation is what somebody else says about you. So having that third-party authority, I would much rather go on somebody else's podcast than do a week's worth of content on my own social media. I know that's going to convert so much better to be on somebody else's podcast than my Instagram. Now, do I want my Instagram to reinforce what they might see? Absolutely. So like a journalist will go check out your social media and they want to see that you have put some thought into it and you're at least intentional with what you do, not, you know, crappy looking stuff that just looks disjointed. You might look like you're hard to work with or you're going to be disorganized or things like that. So it is very important to still be intentional with your social media. Don't let it stop you from going for it if you don't have a giant following. Sometimes you don't need it. I've never had to do Facebook ads. I've done a few just to play with some topics, but it's all referral based, or they'll see me on a podcast or a magazine and reach out that way. Anytime I see a sales slump, I look and I go, dang it. Wasn't doing my own PR.
We are that time. No, that's great. This is opening up a whole different world for people that most do not think about and how accessible that is to get started in that. And that is really another way to scale your reach as your business and your brand, right? I think we talked a lot about personal brand today. Hopefully people are thinking that, yes, they may have their business, but their brand needs to be developed and that can be their next step for their business. So they can, like you said, you talked about one client that's leaving, being in charge of their business and being in it, stepping out of it and letting that run by itself and building their own brand. I think I talked about this on another podcast, which is women are really scared to expand beyond themselves with their work and not delegate to other people and grow an actual business. I think this goes along the same lines, is that we're more than just our work or our one company. We can still love what we do, but our voice matters, and us being multi-passionate or have different passions, different ideas is also an opportunity we need to take. PR can help us do that.
Absolutely. I was just talking to somebody about this very thing. And when we got down to the bottom of it, she was just scared of failure and being judged. I was like, people are judging you right now anyway. They're going to judge you no matter what. So just go do you. Don't worry about what other people say. What other people think about you is none of your business. Be intentional, do your best, but again, don't worry about perfection. If you're not perfect for somebody, that's on them. It goes to what you were saying. We're more than just our business.
Yes. We're more than just our business. For sustainability and longevity with us being entrepreneurs or business owners, it's really important. I like how you talked about sustainability, sustaining that brand, keeping it going. If we're not doing our own PR, if we're not continually doing that without brain burnout. Talking about PR today is another way to get out there without getting burnt out. A lot of people do not enjoy feeling like they have to post all the time on social media when that's not the only way to get out there. I think you're really just opening up other ways for smaller businesses too. Women over here that are maybe solopreneurs, a lot of women listening are solopreneurs that have their foundations down, who have a good business running, but they have other opportunities to get out there in their business, to do that in all sorts of ways. That's really amazing.
I absolutely love it. And especially since we are mothers, a lot of times we've got our business. And like for me specifically, being the mom of somebody who has special needs, that's a different side of my business that I can also help people with. There are plenty of other moms out there in the same situation who would love to hear from me and root them on. I was having this conversation earlier with somebody who's at the beginning of their journey with a child diagnosed with a special need. I'm on the other side, she's almost 27, and I could tell there's light at the quote unquote end of the tunnel. Yes, there are always challenges. It's an ongoing thing, but we've got our rhythm. We're done grieving. There is a grieving process that women go through when we have a child that isn't exactly what we thought we were going to have. And it's okay to say that. I think a lot of women feel guilt around that. I'm the first to admit I threw up when I saw my daughter because it was so shocking. Mind you, it was partially the stuff they gave me, but my nerves were just so overwhelmed seeing her with all the tubes and how small and see-through. It was such a shock because that's not what I had been picturing for all those months. And it's okay. I'm not a bad mom. She turned out great. I know I'm a good mom. So it's okay to admit that you're not exactly experiencing what you thought you were going to experience, but just know it'll be okay.
Yeah. And I love that. We have different sides of us. And I think there's a lot of fear of sharing other parts of us and developing that, right? And maybe taking some time away from something we built so greatly and working on something else we want to teach or help people with or develop. That's part of life. We really need to think of life as continual and developing and not as one chapter in our life. Thank you so much for sharing that. And just really this amazing, I think, shift. A lot of people hear this and shift their mindset on how they're going to show up with their next steps in their business or their brand and other ways to get themselves out there. I know you've inspired me too. You know, I have lots of things I want to share, but I'm like, maybe I should think of PR next and not just be on Instagram, because you're right. Like, when someone's so passionate, I think we sometimes feel limited to our followers. We feel limited to, like, I want to reach more people, but I don't know how. I think this is just a really great way to do that. It just gets into so many different audiences and different ears, but not feel so limited. Thank you so much for sharing this, especially for all the women that are going to thank you listening to this, for giving them this opportunity. Do you want to share anything else before we close out the podcast?
I just want women to give themselves some grace. I know there is a lot of pressure on us, especially as entrepreneurs. A lot of times we are still responsible for the laundry, the dishes, all the stuff we were doing before, but now add on run a business. I just encourage women to give themselves grace. You have a bad day. Okay, start over tomorrow. A big thing that changed my life was studying quantum physics. It goes a bit farther than the whole manifestation, law of attraction thing. I really dove into the actual science behind it all. And that has made a huge difference in my life, especially as a woman of faith, because now I see all the stuff that I had faith in, but now I understand the science behind some of the things. And that has been really fascinating. It feels magical at times. So it makes me feel like I have a lot more control over my circumstances, because now I understand the science that proves that I have more control over my circumstances. If I am having a bad day, I have the power to reset that no matter what else is going on.
Yes.
I have the power to reset that. And so that's my message.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. Well, thank you so much, Chrissy, for being on today. It was an honor to have you on. So inspiring. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.